I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and if any of the issues that you hear sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Josh Cohen. As company founder and CEO, Josh is the heart and soul of the Junk Luggers. Josh started the Junk Luggers out of his mother's Dodge Durango in Trumbull, Connecticut, when he was 21 years old, and he has since grown the company into a multi-state franchised operation. He utilized his degree from the University of Connecticut in business administration, and his ambition, passion for the environment, marketing savvy, and interest in building a strong company culture to help elevate the company to the level it is today. Josh began with a firm vision of what he wanted the Junk Luggers to become and continues to see it through every step of the way, never looking back. In his personal life, Josh enjoys spending time with his family and friends, including his wife Peggy, their twins Jackson and Fiona, and their very own chief canine officer, Otis. He also loves outdoor sports and adventure, traveling, playing basketball, and office parties. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. So
I'm really curious. You started the company at a young age. What was your original vision?
To make a few extra bucks for a summer internship.
Very common.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think as I very early on, I got started and realized there was a real need for this type of service. And I realized there was a real demanded market for it. So I kept pursuing it. And I just felt really passionate about the business. Things really surprised me about what I enjoyed when it came to the customer satisfaction and appreciation in the business, as well as the ability to actually make a difference in people's lives by helping them to remove things that have had sentimental value for them for many, many years, as well as finding homes for these things. So we're not just clogging up our landfills for no reason through donating and recycling.
So what is the problem that Junk Luggers solves?
So we solve a couple of problems. The first one is we solve the problem of people wanting to clear out space, get rid of things in a sensitive and responsible type of way. So for instance, you call someone else and you say, hey, I have a basement full of stuff to get rid of. They're going to come, they're going to load it up in a truck. I don't know. I can't comment on how great that service will be, and they're going to haul it away and probably it's going to be, you know, be thrown away. With us, what we're providing, again, much more sensitive service. So two very well-trained uniform guys or women will come to your home or business. They'll call you when they're on their way. When they arrive, they'll take a look. They'll give you upfront pricing. And then they'll respectfully and carefully remove items from your home or business. They'll load them into truck carefully. And then they will go through the process of actually disposing of them through eco-friendly manners of donating and recycling, and then providing a tax-deductible donation receipt back to their to customers for what we're able to provide.
Yeah, so that's a big difference from what probably most other businesses that are removing things from a residential or commercial space would do.
Very much. I mean, it takes a lot of extra time, attention, and training to get this right.
So that's interesting. So, did you start the company thinking that you were going to be disposing of goods in an eco-friendly manner?
Yeah. After my first job, I realized that was where we were going. And I printed up some flyers saying, 21-year-old college student want to help you haul away your stuff and then separate it for donations, recycling, and trash. So from the very beginning, I saw the need. I've always been someone who's really cared about the environment. And that's where we started.
And what clued you in to the fact that people wanted their goods to be disposed in an eco-friendly manner?
Because even from my first job, I could tell it. I was going to this woman's home. She was calling me every morning. I was going before my regular job. So I was going at 6 a.m. every morning to do a couple of carloads full using my mom's SUV. And I realized I was clearing out the stuff that belonged to her kids from when they went to college and before they went to college. So things that they grew up with, things that were a part of their childhood, and things that were really important to her because, you know, they were memories from her children's upbringing. And I realized, you know, this is important stuff. And she really cared about it. I was dealing with a real person, you know, it was a face-to-face interaction. I could feel the emotion. I'm a pretty empathetic person. I could feel the emotion in the experience with her. And I wanted to do the right thing by her to preserve those memories and make good of those things as much as possible.
So step one is listening to your client and feel the emotion that they have and respond to it appropriately. And how long was it till you started to grow the company substantially?
You know, we've pretty much been doubling since we started. So substantially in terms of doubling, I think has happened from the beginning. I'm a pretty aggressive guy, have a strong sense of urgency, and I'm pretty ambitious. So growing substantially is clearly a relative word. I think every year it's more and more substantial. We're close to hitting the 10 million mark as a company system wide. And that was one goal that I've had for a while and a goal that a threshold that I hope to exceed.
That's great. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
How long was it before you stopped doing
Lugging?
Yourself and hired a second person?
After my first hot tub job. Clearly there were some things that I couldn't remove on my own. So, you know, pretty immediately I found an assistant. My brother's a few years younger, so he had some friends who weren't off at college yet, and they were some of my first right-hand men.
Okay, so you know, it's interesting because you physically couldn't handle some of the stuff yourself. And that shift point of needing to hire somebody other than the founder is often a decision that's hard for people to make.
I have definitely noticed that. You know, we have a number of franchise partners now, and I see the different ways they go about running their business. And I see that some people find the short-term thinking of, if I do it myself, I'm going to save money, to be relatively common. I think what I was fortunate to have learned early on, after reading the E-Myth Revisited book by Michael Gerber, it's you know, been the most influential in my life, is if I wanted to grow this business, I had to work on it instead of in it, and I couldn't be a technician forever. You know, coupled with the fact that I didn't really want to haul junk for all that long, I think really pushed me to get to that next level.
That's great. And what have been some of the other kind of pivotal shift points that you've had to deal with?
A lot of it is around people. Mm-hmm. So how to manage, work with, lead, support people, motivate them. Those have been some huge learning curves for me. I used to steamroll over people because I was so stressed out and I hadn't done it before. My brother and I have a famous story because he came into the business pretty early on and I was so stressed out that we were arguing over something stupid and we literally started throwing furniture at each other. So it was after getting through some of that and realizing how much of a negative impact that approach had on myself and the other people in my business, that I realized some things needed to change because I had changed as a person. I used to be a really, before that I was friendly. I was more laid back. I was more easygoing, and jumping into a business and wearing so many hats and feeling so much responsibility really changed me for a period. And I wanted to go back to treating people well. And I kept reading business books and trying to educate myself and learn that if I want to create a good, strong business, I need good people behind me. And in order to do that, I need to treat them well and support them well. And so that was a huge, huge shift for me. And while I think that may sound obvious to a lot of people, for me, I was young, I was immature, I was inexperienced. Those things just had to be explained to me. Another thing that I had to get past was the fear of not being moving the fastest or not being the best compared to my competitors. And probably moving fastest is more appropriate. I started in the business. There really wasn't any other competition that I knew of around. The internet and internet marketing wasn't even really a thing at that point, which is crazy. And so information about who is out there wasn't readily available.
Mm. What year did you start your company?
2004.
Yeah, it's amazing how things have changed so much in a decade.
It sure is. Used to send out a lot of direct mail. It hasn't happened in a little while.
Yeah. Well, now direct mail is becoming special.
Yeah, it is.
So you get an added advantage if you use direct mail as opposed to internet marketing.
It's true.
Yeah, things end up reversing. Do you think that there's a difference in how you motivate people in a company like yours where a lot of the work is physical versus a company that might be more idea driven?
Well, you know, one of the reasons I shifted to the franchise side was because I wanted to be able to be more idea driven and a little bit less hands on with some of the day-to-day operations. I definitely think there are different approaches to how to manage different type of people, and I've noticed significant differences in what I'm able to accomplish and the way I'm able to communicate with people on a corporate or management staff versus some of our really great guys who work on trucks.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of those differences?
You know, when it comes to people working in the office and our management team, it's easier to find people who are specialists, who are really good at what they do, who get it, and who can evolve an idea or bring up an idea and work with it without me holding their hand. So it's really cool, actually, to get to a point now in our business where a lot of great things are happening, and it's not relying on me to initiate or to make sure that they happen. What I found on the trucks is the guys need a lot more constant reinforcement, a lot of continuous training, daily versus more long-term goal setting and compensation structures to reward them for good behavior, as well as a real sharp and consistent accountability program so we can catch issues early and address it with them rather than allowing it to drag on and spread to the rest of the staff, which I have also found to be very influential.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it, for the people who manage what happens with the trucks, that it's a lot more hands-on in terms of management style.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Josh, has there ever been a point when you have really felt stuck in a rut?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot of them. I guess I've gotten used to it, but at first I was really surprised by the extreme highs and lows of running your own business. I guess to give you a specific story, and this is one I've spoken about a few times when people have asked me, this was maybe 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we had started franchising about a year or a year or two earlier, and it wasn't going that well. We had brought on some people without really understanding how we can manage their expectations because we hadn't franchised before, so we didn't really know what to tell them. And I think we brought on some people who had different expectations of what it would take to successfully run and grow a business, and we had some strained relationships. And I really took that personally because I didn't take it to light that people were investing their hard-earned savings in the junk loggers in my company and not being successful. And so there were some real extended periods of time where I was depressed. I was considering quitting altogether and giving up and selling the business. I didn't want to get out of bed. It was bad. And I think it had a real ripple effect on the rest of my company because they weren't seeing me at my best. And it was also compounded by the fact that I had competition that was growing much faster than I was. And I thought, shoot, they beat me to it. It's all over now. You know, my grand idea is done. I was really focused on the negative and not on the positive. Tony Robbins is someone who has helped me with that because he talks a lot about, you know, focusing on being appreciative for what you have versus, you know, what's not going well. So I think I just kind of had an epiphany one day, which maybe I'd been waiting for subconsciously, that this wasn't working and I wasn't going to take it anymore. And I think that was the big thing. It wasn't just that it wasn't working. It was that I've had it. I wasn't going to take it. And I was ready to make a change. And my wife and I were on vacation in Florida. We were just in a parking lot and we were driving the car and I just said, I can't do this anymore. I'm just thinking about how my competition is winning. I'm thinking about how we're plateauing and I'm just unhappy. And she said, well, you kind of either got to, you know, shit or get off the pot, excuse me. But she said, are you going to do something about it or not? Because you keep bringing this up. And I said, yes. I said, this is it. It's the end of the year. Next year is going to be different. And I think something in me just snapped and I said, I'm going to make this happen. You know, why can someone else do this and I can't? And I started to really try to appreciate the people who I'd had on my team. I started to really work very hard on building a great culture within the organization. I started to be more goal-oriented and a fire inside of me went off and I just said, screw it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how a shift in mindset can have such a huge impact on your own behavior and then on the emotions and behaviors of the people who are critical to your company's success.
Yeah, I'd be nothing without them. So 100% agree.
And what's been the trajectory since that pivotal incident?
We've grown by 200%. Their company culture is at an all-time high. The growth trajectory looks very, very positive. You know, I expect that the number of very high quality franchise partners that we'll bring on our team next year will double from what we already have. So we'll go from about 15 franchise partners right now to 30 by the end of next year. And I feel really strongly that we can do that and that we also have the right team and systems in place to do it successfully.
That's really awesome.
Thanks.
Josh, what have been some of the support mechanisms that have helped you along the way? Like, have there been business communities that have been helpful or something like that?
Yeah, there's been a few things. So I've been a part of business communities as well as I've read some great business books and hired some great business consultants and coaches. The business communities I was a part of specifically were EO, the Entrepreneur Organization, as well as Vistage. Two great support networks where I was around other peer business owners in similar situations. And there was a lot of events and support groups and learning programs with both. Vistage was a little bit more formal and structured in terms of the coaching. And both those organizations really helped me to get to the next level. By seeing that some of the challenges that I was going through were not unique. And B, by helping to provide me with some options for what I should do to resolve some of the issues that we're having and get to the next level. I really found also from an emotional standpoint that by being with other business owners with businesses of similar sizes was a great way to vent and talk about some issues in ways that I am not able to do with some of my other friends and peers who just really aren't in similar circumstances.
Yeah. What tips can you offer our listeners about how to find support networks that are suitable for what you need at a given point in time?
I mean, all I can say is the group I joined at that time were really for me. So Vin and the Entrepreneur Organization are everywhere. Other than that, there are so many great books out there that have been tremendous resources to me and are very, and I've looked for at times where I really just wanted to educate myself on something specific, like sales, for instance. And then I read some great sales books. I mean, the information that you can get by picking up a book and educating yourself is unbelievable. And I'm not a huge reader, but every time I read a book, I get so much out of it.
Yeah. What's one book that you've read recently that has helped your thinking?
What Motivates Me? Or What Motivates You? Let me look up who wrote that one. But What Motivates Me or What Motivates You was a great book because there's a lot of options on where I can or should focus my time as we continue this growth period. And I wanted to make sure that I also knew not only all the things I had to do, but the things I enjoyed doing. And it was really eye-opening to see what I thought I enjoyed versus what the book helped me to realize that I actually enjoyed doing and where I'm strongest at.
So where do you think that you are strongest and what have you enjoyed the most, or what are you most proud of and what you've created?
I think I really enjoy leading, managing and building a great culture within my organization. But I'm not a detail guy. And so I really work to bring in people and a structure that can help support some of those areas that I'm not good at and I don't like to do.
Sounds good. Josh, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
I love Elon Musk. I mean, I think he's an amazing mind. And other than that, just a little bit more personal, I would say my younger brother, he's a franchisee for us in Manhattan in Brooklyn, and he took a business or a territory that was really struggling, and he's grown it tremendously and allowed it and set it up to run much better than it ever was before.
That's great. And Josh, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? I know you talked about the next year about doubling in size, doubling the number of franchisees. What else is going on with Josh?
So a couple of our goals are, we have a 2020 BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, and that's to keep 100% of the items that we haul away out of landfills. And we're making some serious moves to make that happen by 2020. We've also recently, in the last 18 months, gotten into the moving business, which is very complementary to our junk hauling business. And finally, you know, by 2024, we set this goal 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, we will be a $100 million franchise system with 100 franchise partners.
Wow, that sounds great. Josh, how can listeners learn more about you, about Junk Luggers, and follow what you're doing?
Our website is up to date all the time, and our Facebook page is constantly up to date with a lot of the things that we're doing and the PR that we're getting. Other than that, I'm happy to talk to people at any point, so they could hit me up, email me, or call me.
Okay, and what's the best contact, what's the URL for the website, and how can they contact you?
The website's junkluggers.com, JUNKLUGGERS.com. And my email address is josh@junkluggers.com.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's been great talking to you about your journey, what some of the rough spots have been, what some of the successes have been, learning about how you're so focused on building the right culture for your company. You've done a fantastic job of building a big company. it's big already. So, thanks so much for sharing some tips with our listeners. My guest today has been Josh Cohen, who's the founder and CEO of The Junk Bloggers. Thanks again, Josh, for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the interest.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.